We've been talking about something here, 1 John. Hallelujah. How many are getting something out of this here that we're talking about? I know I am. I've read this book, I'm not sure how many times anymore. I've lost track. You know, after you do something 100 or 200 times, you just kind of quit counting. You know? I've stopped counting, and I'm not sure how many times I've read it, but I know that, you know, at one time, sometimes in your life, at different areas, how many know you gain revelation as you walk with God? You know, it, not that it didn't minister to me, you know, when I read it when I was in college and so forth, but there's different things that God began to emphasize here. And we've been looking how John was written about around approximately 85 AD, about 20 years after Peter and John went to heaven. Some scholars say it was 80 or 90, you know, and some say, you know, could be as late as 95, but so I just took around 85 AD, about 50 years after Jesus had passed away. Passed away. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't pass away, Lord. Thank you. He died on the cross. Can you take that out, please, Joe? Jesus did not pass away, okay? But he died on the cross, and then he was raised to life. I was thinking after Paul passed away, it was about 20 years. That's why I was saying that. So, and about 20 years after Peter and Paul were killed for the gospel's sake. They gave their lives. They put it all the way to the point of death, just like Jesus did. He was willing. They were willing to die for the gospel, and I'm sure John was willing. They even tried to kill him. They boiled him in oil once, and usually that kills people. I don't know. I've never been boiled in oil, but it doesn't sound like any fun. You know, have you ever seen those fryers, you know, McDonald's, you know, you know, but John didn't fry. Hallelujah. He began to survive and come alive more and more. And so this is the latter part of his life. And so he had been saved at least 50 years at this point. And so we've been looking at these things. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, said, I heard these things. I've seen these things with my own eyes. We looked upon him, upon Jesus, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Our hands touched him. I saw him. I felt everything. He was here. I'm telling you, I am an eyewitness of what he said. I heard these things. And John is declaring faithfully exactly what Jesus taught. He said that life was manifested. We saw it. We bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and is manifested unto us. Oh, hallelujah. How many are glad for that eternal life? This is what John is talking about in here. He's saying, how do we know? He said, that which we've seen and heard, we're declaring to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with what? The Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. Now, I'm just reviewing right now. We talked about these things, but he said your joy can be full when there's fellowship with your Father. How many have ever seen that? You know, sometimes men in the world, we get so busy, we get caught up in our work or doing things and don't have time for our family. Neglected that, and there's not the fellowship with their son or daughter that they wished they had had. I've never found a man yet that, you know, was dying and said, oh, I'm so sorry I spent so much with my so much time with my family, my son and daughter, and I didn't work more. Never. It's always, oh, I wish I had taken a little more time if they hadn't. Relationships are important. And our relationship with Father God is very important. Yes, he has done his part, amen? How many know there's two parts to the relationship, right? There's God's part, or, you know, and then there's our part. There's our response, our understanding of him, our coming to him. He said, I'll love you. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have put that mint in there. I'll love you with an everlasting love. He said, I have taken the time. I have paid the price. He was the one that made the propitiation for sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. And he says, if there's a problem, if you do fall, if you do slip, if you do fail in your part of responding to the Father or in relationship with him, verse 9 says, if we what? Confess our sins, he is so faithful and he is just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your standing with God is secure when we stay in fellowship with him. And you said, well, I missed it and I stepped away. Then we want to be quick to repent, quick to turn back, quick to make that about face and said, yes, Father, I'll do it your way. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I tried it my way, but I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for trying my own way. I want to do it your way. I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to walk in true righteousness and true holiness with you, Lord, the way you made me to. I want to learn to walk after my reborn spirit. And verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And this was the claim a lot of times that the Pharisees would make. They gave a show to the people that they actually kept the law of Moses, but Jesus confronted their hypocrisy openly when he said to them in John 7, verse 19, he said, hey, didn't Moses give you the law? John 7, 19. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you seeking to kill me? And then they said to him, you've got a demon. Who's seeking to kill you? Jesus answered them, I did one work. And you all marvel. Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision, not that is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. And so here we see Jesus rebuking them for their hypocrisy. He said, you don't keep the law. You say you do, but you can't. You don't. You're not doing it the right way. And he says, he goes on to say, if a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? He healed a man on the Sabbath day because he was sick, and they are angry with him. Yet you will circumcise someone on the Sabbath, won't you? You hypocrites, he's saying, you are hypocritical. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with a righteous judgment. Jesus was rebuking them. You say you have no sin, but I'm telling you, you're not keeping the law, you do. And sometimes people of the world, how many know? Anybody ever heard that? I knew one particular guy. and you know, he said, oh, I have no sin. I'm just, you know, I walk with God. I'm practically perfect. Matter of fact, you know, it was just like that. And he says, you know, and he was trying to say, I don't need a Savior. I tried God. Didn't work for me. I had questions. They wouldn't answer me. Well, how many know God judges righteously? He says, yeah, I think you do have some sin. Amen. Not only that, Jesus knew they did. John 8, 23 and 24 says, and he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from, what, above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. How many know that Paul said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin affects our fellowship with the Father. We're in a world today. People believe all kinds of crazy things. Well, whatever I decide to be, that's what I am. Even if they're not. I know that sounds to us, to me, it sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? Sounds kind of funny. Well, you know, I never thought we'd see the day, you know. Well, I identify as a cat, you know. Meow, meow. You know, and the teacher calls home, could you please come get your son? He's a little distracted. A little distracting today. We can't seem to get him to use the litter box. I don't know what they say, you know. I mean, Lord have mercy. You know, I'm not sure how that works, but there's people that have said these things. I'm not what God's made me. I have not accepted myself for what God made me in his image. And then sometimes we worship the image, don't we? Oh, I'm special. God made me different. Yeah, he did. He made you unique. But he made you human. You're not a cat. You're not a dog. You are a higher level of being. You are a spirit. And when our spirit is born again, we can begin to have a relationship with the Father that no man had before on this earth, even Adam and Eve, because their body, before they fell, was already perfect and clothed in the glory of God. Ours is not yet. We're a different species of being, a different form of person, born again and learning to walk after that new man that he placed upon the inside. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I am glad. I am very glad. Hallelujah. John 8:12, remember what we said about that? He said, I am the light of the world. And they that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, hallelujah. In the beginning, God said, was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. He was in the beginning with God. There's not anything made that was made without him knowing about it. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. And he comes down. Hallelujah. There was nothing made that was made. Nothing. He made it all. He was there with the Father. All things. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Not a single thing that there was in the earth that he didn't help make with the Father. In him, in Jesus, was that life. And that life was what? The light of men. He that follows me, amen, he says, isn't going to walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that light grows in us, begins to develop us. We begin to walk with him, to fellowship with him. And out of that fellowship, we begin to learn to walk like Jesus, to walk like the man that he created us to be from the inside out. The non-born-again person, of course, is never going to be able to walk above sin. And those that we talked about here, the religious leaders, they're bound in their sin unless they repent. Amen. The same condition they were in when he spoke to them. They're claiming that they kept the law, and they were claiming they had no sin. They were claiming they did not need a Savior. And John says in chapter 1, verse 10, they are liars and the truth is not in them. Do you know that God said, let God be true and every man a liar? If it's not lining up with God's word, it is not the truth. Even as Jim mentioned this morning, someone said, we love them, we care about them. Oh, God is sovereign, and he is sovereign. He sovereignly made a way for you to know the Master. He sovereignly paid the way for you to receive healing. He sovereignly made a way and gave you the authority. You are his authority in the earth. And when you work with God, all things become possible. He said, with God, not without him, but with God, all things are possible. So if we're doing it on our own, it's not necessarily possible. But when we get with him, when we begin to know the Father and have that fellowship with God, hallelujah. Well, what is fellowship? It's two fellows in the same ship, right? Two guys, they go out, you know, and they get in the boat and they start fishing. They're having some fellowship. And when we get in God's boat, when we bring him unto the inside of us, we have a rich fellowship. And John had said that you can experience the same joy that we did when we're free from sin, when we've been made right with God, when we've been changed on the inside and given a nature that has power to know God. He said, to them that received him, to them he gave what? The power to become a son of God. There was a nature change. The old moved out and the new moved in. Sin moved out and righteousness came in. Glory to God. Holiness came into you. When we walk according to that nature, we'll not be defeated, but we'll have a fellowship with God that's, hallelujah, greater than anything in this world. Because he said, I will what? Cause you, always cause you to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. When we walk in him, when we move in him, when we live in him, we're going to triumph. Glory to God forever. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John 3:6. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:6, he said, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him nor known him. In other words, if they're habitually sinning, a person cannot know him. Amen? if they're habitually going against what God has said. How many know? Sometimes you say, you ever heard it said? A son or daughter? I don't know them. You know, they're going against what I said. I don't know them. I don't understand. There's been a broken fellowship with a son or daughter. I remember a friend of mine, his son got on drugs, and he says, I don't understand. I mean, someone can become a different person. They get caught up in something else. But how many know we got hope in him? Not only we be saved, but we can trust God. And as we were talking about earlier, Jim mentioned earlier, we are the authority in the earth, and we can use our authority, and we have a confidence that God's going to work with us and save our family. He said, I will contend with those that contend with you, and I will save thy family. Not might. He said, I will, I shall, I'm going to do it. Amen. When we believe, God goes into action. Praise God. Praise God. See, this fellowship with the Father produces benefits in our life. Hallelujah. Benefits in our family. Glory to God. We can pray. We can use that. Hallelujah. It is impossible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have what? The advocate. In other words, he paid the price. Glory to God. He paid the penalty. It is available. He settled the score. Glory to God. He became the advocate. He says, I'm here. We've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He said, I will intervene for you. Hallelujah. If anyone does. So here the Apostle John, he's saying that it is possible for a genuine Christian to commit a sin. But it's not possible for a person to habitually live in sin, to have a lifestyle of sin, and remain truly in fellowship with God. Eventually, a lifestyle of sin may extinguish the life that is in the seed. And Jesus taught this in the parable of the sower, didn't he? Over in Mark chapter 4. If you remember, let's turn over there a minute. Mark 4. The life that's in us, how many know you have to cultivate a seed? You put it in the ground. You can't just go digging it up every day and expect it to grow, can you? Well, this is my seed, you know. And people came over to your garden, and you get the seed, you know, you get your little shovel and, oh, see, this is my seed. I put it in the ground. I'm going to have some tomatoes. You know, you put it back in the ground, you know, cover it up. And the next day you go out, I wonder how my seed's doing. You dig that seed up. How many think you're going to have tomatoes? You're not. Why? Because it had to have fellowship with the nutrients in the soil which produce what? First, death. And then it produces the life or the image that was in that seed. In other words, there was a death to the outer part of that seed. And when you and I are planted in Christ, the first thing, our flesh, what the flesh man died. He had to be stripped away. But we've got to remain in him to receive the nutrients necessary to begin to grow and to flourish and to ultimately, what? Mature and produce fruit. that can be eaten and can bring life to us. Oh, glory to God. But here we are. Where were we? We're in Mark 4. He showed this. He said, this is here. And he said, and again, he began to teach by the sea, and the great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he says to them in his teaching, listen. Listen to me. Hey, look, a sower went out to sow. The farmer went out to sow, we would say. And it happened as he sowed that some of the seed fell on the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. See, if we don't remain in him, you know, he said, if you abide in me, John 15, and my word abides in you, then you'll ask what you will, and it'll be done. But how many know if we're not abiding or living in him, it's going to be difficult. Things are going to be challenging. You're going to have that difficulty. And so here, some fell on the stony ground. It didn't have much earth. It springs up quickly because the earth wasn't very, you know, it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. We've got to get our roots in the Lord. And sometimes growing roots takes time. The larger the plant, the deeper the roots. Amen? What has God called you to be? Or some things that he's called us to do? It said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, choked it. It yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop and sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. In other words, some had 30%. Now, there's people that stop and they're satisfied with, you know, just enough of Jesus to make heaven, you know. They've got maybe 30% going. They get their life in order and they're being kind to their neighbor. They're doing the right things. They're not really in great sin, but they're not really pursuing God. And many times people reach to a 60-fold where they have more of God, and maybe they get filled with the Holy Spirit and they start walking with God and they have some fruit. But how many want to go all the way with God and see the fullness of who he is in your life? It takes us laying down our life in a fellowship with him so that the very life of God, which is on the inside of us, continues to grow and mature. Because in Jesus is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ Jesus, everything that you need is in him. He is the living word. And his word that he gave to us is alive. And that word grows in us as we fellowship with him. We begin to understand things we didn't know before. And we begin to realize how our nature works. It's a nature of love. It's a nature of kindness. It's a nature of goodness. It's on the inside of us. But we've got to cultivate ourselves. We've got to cultivate it how? By spending time in his presence and spending time with him. Hallelujah. Fathers, I hope you'll spend some time with your family today. Amen. How many know you can't just never show up and have a family? Amen. It takes some work. It takes a little development. It takes some planning. It takes some effort on our part. A lot of times it can be fun. A lot of times it's joyous. There's a joy that's set before us. Why? Because the outer shell begins to die and the true life of God that's in you begins to flourish and come forward. And he said everything that pertains to life and godliness begins to become a part of you. And you begin to shine like a light in this world. He said, I'm the light of the world. And he said, you're the light of the world. A light's not set to be put under a bushel. It's not set to be hidden, but to give light. And light begins to come to your life. And you begin to shine in the darkness. And how many know? People begin to be drawn to that light. You know, without light, we would probably die. You get somebody in darkness long enough, they'll go blind eventually. Yeah, it's really true. Darkness can't overtake light, though. Light always drives out darkness. Even if you just have, you know, we know this, you know, you got a little, if you come in here and it's dark, you know, you turn on the light, we know it all goes away. But even if you got a little flashlight, everywhere you go, that darkness is driven away, isn't it? He said, if we follow him, you're going to have the light of life. You're going to know where to go. I will give you that direction. I am the light of the world. And I'll make you that light. But it takes something. And that's fellowship with him. You know, he says, hey, if you say you got fellowship with me, then you keep my commandments. If you say you know me, you'll love my commandments. You'll love me. And sometimes we love God. I think people do really say, you know, we say that, we love God. But are we in love with him? Do we really love him? Do we want to be with him? Does his presence draw us? Do we delight in him? Do we really want to walk in his way? And sometimes people are crying out, yes, they do. But it starts, of course, with that relationship, coming to know Christ, getting that nature on the inside of us, without which we really can't learn of him, can we? We can't truly fellowship with him. In verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, he's the propitiation. In other words, he paid the penalty so that you and I and the whole world is okay with God. And that's the sadness of some of the world. The price has been paid for you. But the key is, will you receive it? Will you believe it? Will you accept Jesus as the price that was paid? And some people of the world say, no, I don't want to accept that. I don't think that's the way God wanted to do it, but it is, nevertheless. And they be separated from God for all eternity, having their sin already paid for. But they didn't turn. We must choose to turn and receive him. Now, verse 3, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we're in him. Oh, hallelujah. There's a love that comes to the inside of you and I. Are you hearing today? That fellowship produces a love because your nature is filled with love, because it's filled with God. For he is love. And we talked about that last time when we were talking about what? Who's our neighbor? First, we looked at the commands of Jesus, Luke 6. You know, he says, if, you know, Jesus had said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not the things that I say. Oh, Father, if we could just see, you know, we said last time, if we could just see your sayings, Lord. Luke 6:27, love your enemies. He said, oh, I found one of his sayings, what he already said. Love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, Father, help us. Help us, Lord. And I know you love your enemies here. I'm not saying many of us do. We know that. But this is what he had said. He said, hey, you have to do my sayings. And when we do his sayings, the Bible says we dig what? Deep. In other words, we're going to have to dig down. We're going to have to get our roots established in him and who he is. That God is God, and he always will be God. He will not be something else. He will not do something else. He is stable and secure. He said, I am your Father. I will love you with an everlasting love. No matter where you are, I will always love you. However, will you love me? He said, you tell me you do, but are you keeping my command? Do you really want to know me? Walk in what I said. Do my sayings. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. How is it shown? Our love for God is often shown in our love for our neighbor. Amen? It's shown in our willingness to forgive like Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Even as the Father forgave us. That's a lot of forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful he forgave me. And he forgave you. We can do the same for our brothers and sisters and others that are about us. There's a love nature in you from our Father who loves us with an everlasting love. He said, you know, Paul said in Romans 8, who can separate me? What can separate me from the love of God? Tribulation, trouble, no. No, nothing can separate me from the love of my Father except me. I'm the only one. I can withdraw. I cannot accept it. I can refuse it. God is longing for us to receive his love. He's longing for men and women to fellowship with him in a deeper way. He's longing to have a family that will love one another and forgive one another and will walk with him in fellowship and enjoy and let his life shine through us. Amen. What a Father we have. What a plan he made to redeem us, to purchase us back through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then fill us with himself to change our very nature to be that of one like himself. Oh, and he said, if you'll come to me, I'll help you. You can fellowship. We'll have joy together. What was that? We'll be one together. Amen. And we'll walk hand in hand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today that we can walk with you. We can choose to have that hundredfold walk, that 30-fold, that 60-fold, and even a hundredfold walk with you. Completeness, Lord. Fully surrendered, Lord. Father, it's not always easy on our flesh. We know there's a death that we must die, and to let that outer man perish. Let the outer man die, Father. Let it fall off of us. Let the things of the outer man and the things that the enemy tempts us with to disappear and dissipate. And let the life of God so fill us that we'll be a beaming light, a beacon of light, Father, in this dark world. Oh, Lord, we want to let the love of God fill us. We want to have true love. Lord, we're not here to, Lord, you didn't tolerate sin. We're not here to tolerate sin, Father, because that's not the love of God. But we're here to say there is an answer. There is hope for you in Jesus. There is deliverance. There's healing. There's acceptance. And Father, we're here today and we're saying, Lord, we open our hearts to let you love us. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. We say, Lord, we want to fellowship with you closer and closer to keep your commands, to pray, to worship you, to meditate your word, Father, to let our outer man die, Father, and to let the very life of Christ that's on the inside of us begin to shine more and more, even unto the coming of your Son, Jesus, Lord, that we can walk in a place of victory and overcoming the enemy every day, every day, every time. And Lord, as we grow in you, that we'll help others to walk that way too, to help them see the Savior, the Master, the King, the one who came and made and paved the way for us to have this relationship with a Father that loves us. Thanks for coming, Jesus. Thanks for being a dad. Thanks for being a father to us. We cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy God. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.